tell you all the time. We tell you, if you're going to have energy, if you're going to do this, if you're going to put energy into pro wrestling, be positive.
Enjoy it.
It's an outstanding world of wrestling out there. There are things to take away. If traditional televised wrestling, wink, wink, if the weekly episodic isn't doing it for you.
No, absolutely.
There are a world of options out there.
Literally
and,
a world.
And I mean this sincerely, and I do mean this. There are no finer promotions or one standing out more right now than Progress Wrestling. I've had the privilege of going to three Progress shows now. I've had a blast at every single one of them. Something stands out to me. One of which being like things like seeing Mustache Mountain for the first time. Mm-hmm. That was because of Progress Wrestling. Things like seeing someone we're familiar with, like MJF, be, I think, the best MJF I've seen is the way he was in New Orleans at a Progress show.
Right.
So what this promotion is doing is, I think, is exposing you to talent you might not see, and then taking talent and giving them the ability to shine, which I think is really all I'm looking for in wrestling in general, and certainly in, like, the quote-unquote independent scene.
Right. And, you know, something like Progress has done a great job in creating a wrestling brand unto themselves.
Absolutely. Right? Agree with that.
You know, you talk about it prior to 2011, you talk about wrestling, and there's American wrestling, Lucha Libre wrestling, Japanese wrestling.
Yep.
And now, because of a promotion like Progress, British Strong Style is a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked about that on the show countless times, that really the UK is the next great frontier in pro wrestling, and has become kind of that, you know, fourth market. It's obviously been America, Japan, Mexico, and now the UK is really right there as that fourth market. Great fans, ravenous fans, passionate wrestlers, strong style, British strong style, like you said, is becoming a big, big deal. And Progress, their shirts are awesome. They say, you know, punk rock, strong style. You know what I mean? It's this punk rock pro wrestling. It feels different and unique. And we are thrilled to talk to the owner of Progress Wrestling, and somebody you won't find a nicer person in the pro wrestling business, which can be full of not so nice people, but Jim Smallman is one of the real good ones. And if you go to a Progress show, go up, shake his hand. I guarantee you he gives you the time, especially if it's after the show. Maybe if it's before, he's running around doing a thousand things. But Jim Smallman joins the New Age Insiders, the owner of Progress Wrestling. Thank you so much for taking the time. We are thrilled to be talking to you.
Well, thank you very much for having me, guys. Thanks for being positive about wrestling as well, because that's my mindset. I don't see any point in being negative about wrestling. If there's stuff in wrestling you don't like, then it's not like there's a season finale or anything. It'll all come around good in the end and eventually. So, it's cool to hear you guys being so positive about wrestling, because that's how I like to do it. So it's a pleasure speaking to you.
Excellent, Jim. And it's true, because, you know, we love this thing so damn much, right? We give so much energy to it. We give so many hours to it. We watch it so much. We've grown up on it. You know what I mean? I think the Ultimate Warrior is all of our stepdads in a way. You know what I mean? And so if you're going to care that much, if you're gonna care that much, then, you know, use it for a positive mindset. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is the fact that when I call Progress a phenomenon in the business, I mean that. You guys started around 2012, and you are now an internationally recognized brand, getting this top shelf independent talent, creating talent, discovering talent, pushing talent. You guys are a legitimate force, and in under a decade. So first of all, congratulations. And how did Progress become so big, so fast, in your estimation?
I don't know how. Like, to me, we're still the same company formed by three friends in 2012, and we're still doing shows in front of 300 people. I mean, I know that's not the case, because now we do much bigger shows than that, and we get to tour the world. And this year, we've already been to America and Australia and New Zealand, and we're coming back to America, and we're going to Germany, and we're doing Wembley Arena, which is all crazy. And I wish I knew the magic formula for how we've managed to get so big. I think because we're in Britain, there's been a wonderful perfect storm of very good promotions in the UK, and the fact for a small island with about 60 million people in it, you know, an island the size of Florida, like, we've got so many talented wrestlers. Like, for my money, easily four of the best wrestlers on the planet are British. So Will Ospreay, Pete Dunne, Zack Sabre Jr., and Tyler Bate. All four of them wrestle for Progress, which is pretty nuts, and have done for, you know, a long time, and all four have been a big part of the history of our company. And I think to know that we have that amount of talent in such a small country, and we've always been we've always had really enthusiastic fans here from the World of Sport days in the 70s and 80s to when WWE first started coming to the UK. You know, there's a reason that SummerSlam in 1992 was at Wembley Stadium and there was 90,000 people there, because even though the business was in a little bit of a slump in the States, we've always been super, super into it. It's the same in other parts of Europe as well. Germany's very similar, with companies at the minute like WXW doing great things. And we just happened to be around at a time when I think we were very starved of wrestling in this country. And all of a sudden, loads of independent companies, including ourselves, all started hitting their stride. So it's not just us. It's ICW in Scotland as well, Fight Club Pro in the Midlands, Attack Pro Wrestling, Rev Pro. Loads of companies are doing great things. And it all sort of seemed to kick off roughly around the time that we were starting. I get asked this all the time. I take no credit for it. We're probably the most prominent company now in the UK, but it's not down to us. It's down to everybody raising their game, everybody working together, because nearly all the companies in this country, we all work together. Because, for example, if we bring someone in from the States, we all have to share travel and things like that. And we, you know, there's a sort of camaraderie between companies to make the scene better. And now we're in a very, very rosy situation. But I wish I could figure out how we got so big so quick. It shouldn't have happened this way. 6.5 years in, we should not be doing the things that we're doing. And it won't last forever. We're very comfortable knowing that. We know that wrestling always has peaks and troughs, and the three of us are so into wrestling that we know to not expect it to be like this forever. But as long as it is like this, we're going to keep trying to give people a product that they want to see and they're proud of, and keep entertaining our fans, because it's been a hell of a ride in 6.5 years. I'm not going to lie to you.
So now, somebody who's never been live to a Progress show, one of the things that stands out right away is that you get out there, you stand in the middle of that ring, and basically do a stand-up set.
Yep.
You just go out there and riff and play off the crowd. Now, was that something that was always intended, or is it something that just kind of developed over time?
Well, so I've just become full-time working in wrestling through Progress, which is crazy. But for 13 years, I was a professional stand-up comedian. And whilst, you know, not massively famous for doing comedy, it was what I was better known for, probably until about 2 years ago when wrestling took over. And now that's my niche, and I'm fine with that. But the first show we did, I had no intention of being ring announcer. I'm used to emceeing rowdy comedy clubs on weekends. And at no point did I want to be ring announcer, but we didn't have enough money at our first show to hire a ring announcer. So John, my business partner, who was my manager in my stand-up career for a long time, we decided I would be ring announcer. So that's what we did. And now I keep trying to get out of it, and I'm not allowed to quit, because I am now, it seems, part of the show, even though I'm a very reluctant part of the show. I love doing it. And you mentioned before about me talking to people. If anyone comes to see us in the States while we're there, I will go out of my way to talk to every single person who wants to talk to me, because I'm very grateful. If anyone has bought a ticket or bought a T-shirt or has any interest in our company whatsoever, I will go out of my way to talk to every single person, because we cannot do it without support of fans. And I'm not the sort of person to hide out back and not want to speak to people. But me doing the ring announcing happened by accident. And it's a lucky accident that we stumbled upon, because I think it does define our shows a little bit, knowing that, you know, I especially during the Super Strong Style 16, when we do a whole weekend, the stuff I do with, you know, finding out people who missed day one and why they weren't there and things like that is some of the happiest times I've ever had performing. So I'll probably keep doing it for a bit longer. I'm aware I'm 40 years old now, and I worry that eventually I will fall out of touch with the audience, and I don't want to overstay my welcome. So the minute that people get bored of me, I will stop. But at the minute, thankfully, people are not bored of me, so I will keep going.
No, not bored at all. I've been to multiple Progress shows, and I feel like this show is almost an extension of you, because right. You are the ring announcer. You are the kind of guy guiding us through the show, and I feel like your energy kind of carries throughout the entire show.
Well, the funniest part has to be that I've worked in comedy clubs for the past, you know, 8 years or something like that. And I was a producer and a tech director for a stand-up comedy club here in Boston. And I was talking to the owner because the space is big enough to hold a wrestling ring. And he was like, well, I'd love a way to infuse comedy and wrestling. And I was like, I got to rack my brain to figure out how to do this. Then I go see a Progress show and I see Jim Smallman up there just emceeing the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, well, that's the show that I was trying to figure out.
Yeah, he beat us all to it. Jim, as I said, I feel like Progress, it really is an extension of your personality and your kindness and the way that you come across on the mic. I think the whole show kind of has that vibe. Even when Walter is leaning in and giving you big, scary chops, I still think that the show is a reflection of you. And one of the coolest things about Progress is everybody seems to know the number one rule of Progress, which is don't be a dick. And everybody seems to know it, and it seems to be kind of ubiquitous throughout the product. When we ask people from Ring of Honor, what is the goal of Ring of Honor? They tell us it's to put the best pro wrestling in the world on in that ring. When we talk to people from WWE, they tell us that their number one objective is to put smiles on faces. What is the number one objective of Progress in addition to not being a dick? Because I do know the rules, but what is the objective of Progress Wrestling to Jim Smallman?
Just on a related note, I have the initials DBAD tattooed on my arm.
Of course you do.
In very small writing on my right arm.
Of course you do. You're great at this.
I don't have a Progress tattoo yet, which... there's loads of people who've got Progress tattoos, and I haven't got one yet, and I feel left out.
Yeah, the first person to get a New Age Insiders tattoo wasn't one of us. It was one of our listeners. And so it's like, the pressure's
crazy,
on. You know,
it
is. It's like, pressure's on.
Yeah. So I got DBAD tattooed. I mean, it's only really small. And I was at the supermarket the other day doing my shopping. And... The very nice lady behind the counter said, oh, what does DBAD stand for? And I had to tell a very nice sort of 55-year-old woman what it stood for. And she wasn't as impressed as 700 wrestling fans are. I think that I always say this in every interview, and it's a little bit like the WWE thing. Like, when we started Progress, we didn't have a big sort of grand mission statement of transform British wrestling or make a fortune out of wrestling, because no one really ever makes a fortune out of wrestling anyway. Like, our first goal was not bankrupt ourselves, which we nearly did, but we were okay. Mm-hmm. And our second goal was, let's just see how far we can keep this going. And when we realized it was a successful business and that people loved our little company, all we wanted to do was keep making those people happy. And I know that not everyone can come to every show and be blown away by absolutely everything that they see. But I think we have a pretty good hit rate of making people go home happy after most of our shows. And I always just want to do that. Like, I get so many messages on Twitter from people who just say that watching Progress has, it might be people who've fallen out of love with wrestling, and watching us has made them realize that, you know, what we do have is quite an inclusive community of people who do get on and have fun and enjoy wrestling, which is what wrestling's meant to be. You are meant to have fun and enjoy it. So it feels like every week I'm getting a few of these messages from people saying that Progress has helped them fall back in love with wrestling. And that's, if we're doing that and people keep liking what we're doing, then I feel like we're winning. Like, there's still not tons and tons of negativity about us, and we're quite a big company now. So I would have expected a lot more negativity, because unfortunately the nature of wrestling fandom is that sometimes people are a little bit toxic and choose to focus on the negativity, which is why you guys are so cool. Yeah, I just think it very much wanting people to keep going home happy after our show. After every single show we do, whether it's in London or Manchester or the cities we run in the UK regularly, after every single show, I'll go on Twitter, I'll thank the fans for coming along, I'll thank our talent for the hard work, I'll thank everyone who helps on our shows. And every single show, I'll get really nice, positive messages back from people saying they enjoyed themselves. And I will go away thinking, okay, we're still okay at this. I don't know what I'd do if people went away and absolutely hated a show. I think it would genuinely upset me. And I think as long as you're powered by wanting to always get better and always make people happy, which comes from doing comedy, you can't, when you're doing stand-up, and I did stand-up for years, John, my two business partners, John and Glenn. John was worked in comedy management and events management for years. And Glenn was an actor. And for a long time played Buddy Holly in the Buddy Holly story, sort of touring around doing that. And all of us come from jobs where you have to make people happy all the time. Like, you can't, your stand-up career will not continue if all of a sudden you decide you're not going to make people laugh anymore. And I can never understand how people can can take their eyes off what you're meant to be doing with wrestling, which is, you know, none of us are in the wrestling business for our own egos. We're in it to make people happy, because that's a cool thing, because wrestling's made me happy for 36 years since I first watched it when I was 4 years old. So why can't we carry on doing that? And as long as we're doing that and making people happy and enjoy wrestling, you know, then I feel we've won. That's all I want out of life, really. I'm not powered by money. I'm not powered by material things. I'm not powered by fame at all. But I love the idea of people liking what we do, because that's when I was playing with wrestling simulators when I was in university and I was booking my own fantasy promotions. That's what I wanted to do, and now I get to do it for real, which is pretty crazy.
With no hyperbole, I mean this. I think that the highest fan stock in wrestling right now is a dead tie between Progress and NXT. I think everything that Progress does seems to be hugely well-received, and I think everything NXT does right now is hugely well-received. And I think you have mutual audiences, and I don't think that there's a coincidence, because you guys are doing the same things. Outstanding pro wrestling, compelling stories, letting the characters, I think, do a lot of the work. And so I think that, honestly, if you ever have somebody send you a message that says, I just didn't enjoy that Progress show, send them to us, because they're crazy people and we'll change their mind completely. My question, because it's crazy. That's ridiculous. Progress is one of the best shows you can go to right now, period. My question to you is,
thank you.
Oh, no, I mean that. You guys have had the opportunity for a few years now, since the WWE UK tournament, to continuously book Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne being maybe my favorite active performer in the business right now. That dude is sensational. But I guess my question to you is, Pete Dunne has been allowed to show up on your programming with his WWE UK championship. What exactly is the relationship between Progress Wrestling and WWE right now?
It's basically a nice, friendly relationship. It all started when we did a couple of Cruiserweight Classic qualifying matches. And I've told this story a few times. People have said, oh, how did you get those Cruiserweight Classic qualifying matches? And it's, even though on Twitter it seems like he bullies me, it purely comes down to the fact that I'm friends with William Regal. And he just said, he rang me up one day and just said, would you like to do some Cruiserweight Classic qualifying matches? And I said, okay, that seems like a really good opportunity for us. And we did. We did Zack Sabre Jr. against Flash Morgan Webster.
Yep.
And we did Jack Gallagher against Pete Dunne. And those matches were great. And they were put on the WWE's YouTube channel. And it kind of just, it went from there. I mean, we're not by any means, I think we're probably the most, ourselves and ICW are probably the most high profile companies in the UK that still use, for example, the British Strong Style Boys. But they are allowed to work pretty much everywhere, as far as I'm aware. So it just happens to be that we're friendly enough with WWE for them to decide that we can keep doing that. And to be honest, the amount of times I get tweets from people saying, whoa, 2018 in wrestling, like little things like when we got to borrow Jack Gallagher for our unboxing show on December the 30th last year, that was a cool thing, because he happened to be at home for Christmas and we just asked if we could borrow him, and they said, yeah, okay, cool. Because they know we're not going to put him in a bad position or a difficult position, because we're a professional company. And obviously as well, so for example, I watched the most recent TakeOver again with my wife. And my wife, who hasn't, since we had our son a couple of years ago, she hasn't been to too many of our shows. But she's watching that show realizing how many people she knows, because they've all worked for, a lot of them have worked for Progress. So she's sitting there going, oh, right, there's Roderick Strong, he's worked for Progress, and Adam Cole, and Aleister Black, obviously for a long time worked for us, and Nikki Cross. And she was just watching it going, there's so many of these people have worked for you guys. And we're like, yeah, you know, we don't really think about it, but we have a pretty good track record of guys either leaving us to make their way in Florida or make their way in Japan. And that's a pretty cool positive as well, because again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to put on good wrestling and we're trying to tell stories and do all that stuff. And we're aware we're only a small company and we can't sign people to contracts, and eventually they'll get signed elsewhere. And that's a really cool thing, because we don't complain about it. We just go, okay, what's our next challenge? Our next challenge is to find the next person. And I think that's one of the reasons that WWE have always remained cordial with us. Also, I don't think that wrestling is what it was in the 1980s, for example, where everyone's at each other's throats. I think if you look at WWE's positive relationship with, for example, Evolve in the USA, I think that's a sign of what wrestling is in 2018. It's very different to what it was in, for example, 1984. And again, I think there's opportunities not just for companies like us, but for a lot of companies to enjoy that positive relationship and hopefully only help grow wrestling for the better. I'm very confident that's what's going to happen. But yeah, it's the number one thing I get asked most about. And the reality of the answer is, how did it all come about? It wasn't a secret sort of back alley meeting. It was literally, I was sat eating my dinner one day and William Regal rang me up, made fun of me for about 5 minutes and asked me a really cool question. And it kind of went from there. He turned up at one of our shows. And it was the show where the very first genesis of British Strong Style was formed. And the reason he showed up was he was at home visiting family and asked if he could come along with me. And I think I'd supported him doing some stand-up that week. And he walked out at the start of our show, and which was a really cool thing for us and a really good sort of pat on the back for us as a company. But also, he's one of my best friends, so I was really happy to see that. And but all he did for 5 minutes was make fun of me and then just watch the show. So it's a cordial relationship that's based in a very British tradition of two grown men. I say two grown men mocking each other. I have no comeback. He's got way more Twitter followers than me, and he's much funnier than me. So he always wins.
Yeah.
But yeah, just a nice friendship that blossomed into something kind of cool. And people always think it's sinister and stuff. It's not. WWE work with a lot of companies, and they just happen to have a nice relationship with us. And if it means that we can still use the guys that we want to use, then that's awesome for us.
There's a American holiday called Thanksgiving, and basically that's what Thanksgiving is at my home, which is the people that are mocking you are the ones that love you the most, because yeah. The ones that don't just don't talk to you at all. And so it's a very...
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you know that William Regal must really love you from the bottom of his heart.
Yeah.
Jim, we've mentioned British Strong Style, you've mentioned British Strong Style, but for those who may have not witnessed a Progress show yet or might be fully aware of what British Strong Style exactly is, what does it mean to Jim Smallman? We're talking about British Strong Style. What exactly is that ring style to you?
It's a weird thing because the Strong Style things come about because obviously there is the stable British Strong Style, when we first started our company, we designed our logo, and I'm really into Japanese wrestling. So we had the phrase Strong Style Pro Wrestling put around it. And when we used to send out booking instructions to our talent, we always used to say to them, it's build a strong style. So, you know, if you want to be a bit more snug than you used to be, than you usually are at, for example, the holiday camp shows in the UK, then go for it. And we weren't the only company doing it at that time. We were doing it, Fire Pro were doing it. And a lot of companies were just making it a little bit stiffer and a little bit crisper. And the thing is, the thing that British wrestling is really well known for is that sort of stiffer, more no-nonsense style. And all of a sudden, we found that we had so many different people who could demonstrate that style. Now, I'm the first to admit now, if you come and watch one of our shows, it is not strong style in the same way that it will be if you were watching a show in Japan. Absolutely not. But there is certainly a stiffer and more competitive edge to British professional wrestling than there was a decade ago. Absolutely 100%. And you'll know this because there were wrestlers who were plying their trade in the UK, excellent wrestlers who were plying their trade in the UK a decade ago, who realise how much harder they have to work now to keep up with this next generation of wrestlers. If you look at the genesis for this would have been wrestlers like Dynamite Kid in the 1980s, Marty Jones in the 1980s, Johnny Saint in the 1970s, William Regal in the 1990s, Finlay in the 1990s, Rollerball Rocco in the 1980s. People who were excellent in-ring performers but always had the edge of toughness to them. And I think we'll always have that in Britain. I remember talking to at WrestleMania in 2012. We'd done one show and I was wearing a Progress t-shirt and I went to a Dragon Gate USA show. Which is weird now because obviously our company has a relationship with Evolve and Dragon Gate USA was run by Gabe, and it's weird that I was at that show and now I know him quite well and he's a friend. And I went to that show and I got talking to a Japanese fan who was obsessed with the town of Wigan in the northwest of the United Kingdom, which is the most... it's the most sort of mundane, tiny little town, but it's where the Snake Pit was. So people are obsessed with it for its influence on technical wrestling and catch-as-catch-can wrestling. And this guy was obsessed with it, and it made me realize that British wrestling, especially in Japan, is revered. And I think it's not like it's a fashionable thing at the minute, but if you look at how many American fans we have for our product, part of that is the allure of British wrestling and the fact that it is a little bit different. You know, because of the nature of the internet and how people train now, like there's loads and loads of people who you can look at, who you could watch them wrestle and you won't be able to pick out whether they were American or Mexican or Japanese or British unless you knew. But then there's some people you can watch and I think you can look at them and go, that person is definitely British. Pete Dunne, I think you can watch and go, you'd know he was British even if you never heard him talk and you never had him introduced to you. Yep. You'd know he was British based on his own individual style. Zack Sabre Jr. is the same. Even though Will Ospreay's a high flyer, I think Will Ospreay's the same because certain things that he does in terms of his strikes and things like that are very, very British. Tyler Bate is another great example. The fact that for me the best match, certainly the best match on US soil last year, and I'm biased because they're both my friends, but my favorite match of last year was Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne from NXT Chicago.
Yep,
that's very and good.
The fact that match was so well received, and that match is really British. That match is so British. You watch it and go, the fact that all the people in Chicago were chanting UK at it is one of the most positive and cool things you will ever see. There's this cool aura around British stuff at the minute, which has helped us. It's one of the reasons we can do shows in America, because when we first started coming to America, we were like, oh, we've got to put on indie super shows. That's what we've got to do. And what we've realized now, and certainly with this tour coming up, is we're bringing quite a lot of our roster over, even though it costs a fortune to bring that many people over for that amount of time. The reason we're doing it is the best reactions we were always getting were for the British guys, because they're the guys that you guys can't see all the time. The people you can see all the time are the fantastic indie workers that you've got all over the United States, and some of those guys are doing our shows. But it's the big attractions are the people that you can't see all the time, like Pete, like Tyler, like Trent, like Mark Andrews, like Jimmy. And Jimmy Havoc's there quite a bit more, but Jimmy's still got a huge aura about him as well. Yep. And I think the positive reaction that British wrestling's been getting from our lovely American friends has been, it's been properly crazy. It's such a cool thing. Like I put it this way: if I turn up to a wrestling show in this country that's not a progress show, I might have a couple of people come over and talk to me, and I'll talk to everybody. So that's really, really cool. If I go to a Fight Club Pro show or go to an Attack Pro Wrestling show, I'll have a couple of people come over and say hi. But if I go to a show in the States, like I went to Matt Riddle's Bloodsport over the New Orleans weekend. Yep. And I had so many people come and talk to me, and no one should know who I am. I am an insignificant ring announcer from the United Kingdom. It's crazy that people know who I am and know who our product is. And then not just know what a bit about our product, people know everything about our product.
Yeah.
And to have that amount of knowledge in an audience that's several thousand miles away from us is mind-blowing, and one of the reasons that we always get so excited about coming back to the States all the time.
Yeah, Jim, I truly applaud your humility, but if you think that in the wrestling world right now you are some ring announcer from some UK company, that is just clearly not who you are in this business anymore. You're the owner of one of the best consistent wrestling programs on planet Earth right now. That's what you actually are. You know that, right? So
what's strange as well? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say what's strange is I had to fill in my resume for something, and I was it's really boring stuff. Like basically, now we're doing bigger shows. We always did everything by word of mouth, and now we're doing things like the Wembley Arena show at the end of September. We've had to hire a PR company, which is not the norm for us. We're not used to doing it. I'm cool at doing press stuff, but I'd always rather talk to podcasts and talk to guys like yourselves than I would necessarily like talk to mainstream media and stuff, because I don't think they always get what wrestling's about. I think what I tend to seek out are wrestling fans. And it was really weird because I had to fill in my resume, and part of my resume was obviously co-owner of Progress Wrestling, and I have to put in there, like, it's such a British thing. British people are not good at saying they're good at stuff, and I know we're good at being professional wrestling promoters, but it felt really weird sort of writing down, we are one of the most successful independent wrestling promotions in the world, right. Because I know we are, but at the same time, again, we're three idiots who have stumbled upon being able to be good at this. So it's really bizarre for someone like me who grew up wanting to work in wrestling. That's all I wanted to do. Was I never wanted to be a wrestler. I wanted to work in wrestling.
Yeah.
So for me to be in a position now where I do work in wrestling, and I've worked at something with my friends, and we've made a good thing out of it, and for people to love it, I still can't quite get my head around that. And even sort of writing it down in front of me that we are one of the most successful independent wrestling promotions in the world, I was like, yeah, but is that a bit too over the top? And then I worked it out and went, no, we've sold out every show for 6.5 years in the UK.
Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty successful. Like, I feel weird saying it. And to me, I get in the ring and I'm always surprised that people chant my name. The show we did in New York last year, where the fans wouldn't let me talk for about 5 minutes and were chanting, please come back, before the show had even started. Like, that is some level of support. And for someone like me who's had to deal with trying to make people laugh and hecklers and drunk people for 13 years,
yeah,
that level of support and adulation for what we do, I don't think I'll ever quite get used to it. I know I'll miss it when it eventually goes. So let's try and keep it for as long as we possibly can.
Jim, I don't know if you get a chance to listen to our show very often, but three idiots who can't believe people like us this much is the actual slogan of our show.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to get along swimmingly, to be honest with you. I think the New Age Insiders in Progress are destined to be together. Jim, I've got one final question for you before we talk about your book, because I definitely want to ask about your book, I'm Sorry, I Love You, A History of Professional Wrestling, which is getting rave reviews. But my final question to you is, the three of us have had an opportunity to have our hand in independent wrestling on the local scene. We all work for Chaotic Wrestling, a promotion that has sent guys like Sasha Banks, Kofi Kingston, Tommaso Ciampa through the system. And so what I've seen is there's a great feeling of reward when the people that you work hard for wind up making it and succeeding, mm-hmm, right? So my question to you is, you have seen so many, yeah, talented people come through Progress and, as you said, find even greener pastures in Florida or Japan. What has been the most rewarding thing for you, just on the human level, as being the owner of Progress? Is it, you know, seeing a star make it big? Is it seeing somebody develop? Is it somebody coming out of their shell? For you personally, on the human level, what's been the most rewarding experience of this so far?
I think it's interesting that you mentioned Tommaso Ciampa just then, because I think he's one of the finest performers on the planet right now. And knowing that we had his last indie match outside of the US before he went to NXT, and seeing what he's doing now, like, I know that we're only a small part of his career, but I know that he values the time that he spent with us, and that's really awesome. And I think that one of the coolest things is everyone who's gone on to bigger stuff, they all speak highly of us, and that's really not, like, I have the inbuilt comedian thing of just wanting people to like me, and it's probably the same for John and Glenn as well. And I'd hate the idea of anyone going away from having worked for us, going on to greener pastures and thinking that we're a terrible promotion. I feel that everyone who's gone on to bigger stuff feels that we're an important part of their career. And that's a really amazing thing. Someone like Will Ospreay, who had wrestled his first match for us when he was 18 in a tag match where his tag team partner broke his leg mid-match. Oof. And then Will had to wrestle on his own for the rest of it. And he went from being someone who just did a load of moves to being someone who understood psychology, being involved in the biggest storyline we've probably done in the history of our company, and then going on to doing the amazing things that he's doing in Japan now. Like, seeing that development is amazing. And we're not the reason that Will's one of the best wrestlers in the world. Will's the reason he's one of the best wrestlers in the world, because he's always had that drive and had that determination. We are but a small cog in the gears that have taken him in that direction. And I think I'll always be proud of everybody who's gone on to bigger things, because they all seem to appreciate the tiny little role that we played in their career, and that will always live with me. That, however, I don't think is the biggest sort of human aspect that we can take reward from. I think knowing, again, coming from the messages that I get on Twitter, and the amount of times that people will say to me, oh, I never felt that I could go to wrestling for this reason, and now I found progress and I can. Like, that to me is out of this world. I'm a very approachable human being because I've been doing stand-up for a long time. I will talk about all kinds of... most people are aware I'm a former alcoholic. I've had various issues and stuff like that. I've been straight edge for 20 years, which means that I'm super clean these days, but I've always had sort of mental health issues and stuff like that. And these are all things that I've managed to conquer, and these things that I will talk about openly. And the amount of times that people will come to me and say, hey, I've been feeling really down recently, but I came to a couple of progress shows and I made new friends and now I feel a bit better. Like, that, you can't put any form of monetary value or anything on something like that. That is better than any good house that you can draw, is knowing that you are making people happier. And whilst wrestling fandom is the thing where occasionally people will go, oh, I didn't like this, it's fine, you don't have to like everything. But in the main, the feeling that people get at our shows is that they are part of a family, and it's a family of wrestling fans. And that's how it should feel. You should feel that you're part of a family of wrestling fans, whether you're in one of our shows with like 700 people in it in London, or if you're at WrestleMania with 80,000 people. You should be sitting there thinking, hey, I like this crazy thing, and all these other people like it. What an awesome thing. The difference is with us is we've always made a big deal out of it. We've made a big deal out of our everyone welcomes stuff, which all came about by accident when we had the Brexit vote in the UK for us to leave Europe. And I'm not going to bring politics into it, because my belief is that whatever politics you have, they're your politics. And just, again, don't be a dick. but we have a lot of European fans, and I know that a lot of our European fans were worried that they won't be able to come to our shows anymore. And I just did a little thing. I wasn't trying to do a big Paul Heyman-like speech or anything. I just said, look, it doesn't matter what happens. The world's crazy. But as long as we've got professional wrestling, then everyone's welcome. And everyone stood up and applauded. And that was a really cool moment. And from that point onwards, we were like, this is a cool thing that we need to talk about. Because, you know, we'd run shows in London. London's a city with 10 million people in. We've got hundreds of different races and religions. And everyone is welcome at our shows. Every sexuality is welcome at our shows. Every form of gender orientation is welcome at our shows. No one's judged. Everyone comes along. Everyone has a good time and watches wrestling. And knowing that we can make people happy like that and feel they're part of a community, that is the only thing that's cooler than knowing that we've helped send wrestlers on to bigger and better things. I'm very proud of both aspects of it, but that human aspect of people telling me what a big deal progress has been to them personally is crazy. And for some people, it doesn't have to be a big deal to everybody. Some people can just come along and go, hey, I like wrestling. I like watching the moves. I like the stories. That's fine. As long as you like wrestling, then you're a friend of mine. But it's the individual stories, and there's so many of them of people who have come to our shows and have felt accepted and felt welcomed, and have latched onto the best art form in the world, which is professional wrestling, because they feel it's an inclusive community. And I know there's a lot of companies in America that have that attitude as well. Certainly, like you mentioned, Beyond, before we started recording. And you know, I like the people at Beyond, and I know that when we did a joint show with Beyond last year, they're lovely people, and they have a similar attitude and mindset to us. And knowing that there's companies out there like that is a really positive thing for the future of wrestling, I think.
Yeah, not to in any way equate ourselves to you, but as three guys trying to make it in this business ourselves, I can tell you that the most rewarding part of it for me personally has been having people say, hey, if not for you guys, I probably would have stopped watching wrestling a few years ago. And if not for you guys, I wouldn't have real friends to actually watch wrestling with every week. And that is definitely the coolest part, is because wrestling is so great. And that's why we want to talk to people like Jim Smallman and people from around the world of wrestling, is because it's so great in general. But it's so good right now that if we can help shift people that might be bored with, you know, on their average Monday, wink, wink, There are so many great options out there, and to stoke that fire, because wrestling and passion is a fire, and you need it stoked and you need it refreshed every once in a while. And things like Progress get that job done. And just like I said, on a personal level, having people say, hey guys, thanks, I still watch wrestling now because of you guys. Hey guys, I met a bunch of friends because of you. That is just the most rewarding thing in the world. So, Jim Smallman, we're not so different, you and I. I'm telling you, man. We got a lot in common over here.
Definitely not.
So before we let you go, I definitely want to find out more about your book, I'm Sorry, I Love You, which is the perfect title for a wrestling book. I don't believe this is your first book, so you've been out there writing before. Is that correct?
I used to write a blog about football, soccer, as you lovely Americans call it.
You're our guest. It can be whatever you want.
Also, I'm a trained journalist. I just haven't been one for a long time. So I've written for newspapers and magazines and stuff like that. And obviously now I write wrestling. That's my new job. A little while ago, the book came about. So a friend of mine called Andrew O'Neill wrote a book, which I think you can buy in the States, called A History of Heavy Metal. The crucial word here is A History of Heavy Metal, not The History of Heavy Metal.
Gotcha.
If it was The History, it would have to be sort of a textbook, whereas mine is just, here's all the stuff I've remembered from everything I've ever read ever, and with my sense of humor in it, and also. So I jokingly tweeted about my friend Andrew's book, and I said, I should write a history of professional wrestling. And then I got about 100 replies from people going, yeah, I'd buy that.
Yeah.
And I was like, now I've got to write it. And then I was thinking, I've got to write it, but I'll probably have to crowdfund it or something like that. And his publisher just emailed me and went, yeah, do you want a book deal? I was like, I mean, if I say yes, do I have to write it? And he was like, yeah, that was okay. So I got signed to a really cool publisher called Headline. They're a big publisher in the UK. And they're very excited about the book because it's not out until August the 23rd. And because I've got like a very enthusiastic following of wrestling fans, I get like 10 messages a day from people going, just pre-ordered your book. I'm like, awesome. There's every chance I will become a best-selling author now. Insane, and all the best to my English teachers at school who told me I would never achieve anything. What I wanted to do was write. I'm aware writing 130,000 words. I think the book. I'm writing 130,000 words about the entire history of wrestling from professional wrestling. So from about 1880, the sort of Farmer Burns era, to now, is. You think it sounds like a lot of words. It isn't. There's only about 3 paragraphs about John Cena in the whole book. And Ooh. He's a pretty important person in the history of wrestling.
Sure.
So that tells you how little space I have to play with. And also I had to cut out a lot. So my original manuscript was 160,000 words, of which about 5,000 words were just about FMW in the 1990s. And my publisher, who is aiming the book at people who perhaps haven't watched wrestling for a decade or perhaps know nothing about wrestling at all. So it's aimed as much. If you're a super hardcore wrestling fan, there's not going to be much in that book that you don't already know. I've just put it in a kind of, this is the order that stuff happened. But if you're kind of a casual wrestling fan, that's what it's aimed at, because obviously the book company want to sell books, and I'm fine with that. Because equally, I'm not going to be able to be as in-depth and as analytical as someone like Dave Meltzer is of the entire history of wrestling, because he knows pretty much everything that's ever happened. Or I'm not going to be as good and analytical as someone like Chris Charlton, who wrote Lion's Pride, which is a book about the history of Japanese wrestling. Like, they're proper researchers and authors. I am an idiot with a computer. It's just me talking about, hey, this is what happened, and it's kind of interesting, and it is interesting. Like I think that the history of wrestling and how the territories were, and then how the territories weren't there all of a sudden, and all the way up to how NXT is changing things now, and you know the influence the British scene's got now, and the women's revolution in WWE. There's so much interesting stuff to talk about. The one wish I had is that I could have written a book that was 500,000 words long. But then again, my wife would have divorced me by now. So, I think it's fine leaving it at the length that it's at. It's 120,000 words. People, I keep getting told this as well. It was available. People could pre-order it from Amazon in the States, and then they took it down. And the reason for this is, I didn't realize. I just thought, it's a book, it comes out. What they're actually doing is, it should be released in the USA properly at some point. They're just in negotiations about it at the minute. So it has apparently has to be published again in America, which is great news for me because I think I get paid again. I'm delighted if that happens because I've got two children. I've had a few people in America say, oh, but the link's on your website, I can't order it. I've corrected that now. So if anyone does want to pre-order it, be they in America or elsewhere, if they go to jimsmallman.com/book, all the links are there, including a link to the book depository, which is the one place in America you can order it, and you get free shipping. And I believe it's quite cheap. So I'm not very good at marketing. That's the closest I'll get to doing some marketing, guys. So you set me up for that, and I appreciate it.
You did outstanding. Again, your British self-deprecation is really just, it precedes you. But I mean, you've got to get some self-confidence going, Jim. You guys are doing awesome stuff. And what's very cool is that in the next 5-10 years, people are going to write books about the history of pro wrestling, and Progress is going to be an important inclusion in that book because of the amazing work that you guys are doing, the inclusive, fantastic, like, can't miss shows that when they come to town, right. It's a no-brainer. The only issue as to whether or not we're going to go to Progress when they come to town is if they've sold out in like 5 minutes. You know what I mean? We didn't get a chance to get the tickets. Because do we want to go? The answer's always yes.
Right.
And it's a testament to your hard work. And I know it's a total team effort, but you're not going to do it. So I'm going to give Jim Smallman credit because you've harbored an amazing community.
And don't sell them short on, they were one of the first promotions to kind of get on this internet bandwagon.
Yep.
Right? Having their shows be available on this internet to be able to show it to the world has been so important. Being able to know where to find you, when to find you, and how to find you.
And they're episodic. So people have things to look forward to. Storyline progressions.
Right.
We have friends that all the time say, did you catch the latest episode of Progress? It's not just some show. They have through lines. They are doing just outstanding stuff. And Jim, I could talk to you about pro wrestling for hours and hours and hours. But we thank you again so much for taking the time to give the New Age Insiders a call. Really quick, last thing before we let you go. Where can people find Progress? Where are the events you have coming up? Are tickets available? We've been encouraging people to get to these shows. How can they get to these Progress shows?
So, the shows in the UK, they're all pretty much sold out, apart from September the 30th, which is at Wembley Arena, which is the biggest show we will ever do. Wembley Arena holds 10,000 people. Are we going to get 10,000 people there? Probably not. Is it already our biggest show we've ever done? Oh, yeah, by quite some way. That's the biggest show in the UK that we're doing. All our other UK shows are sold out at the minute. We come to the USA next week. Next week. We do shows in the following cities on the following days. Forgive me if I get these wrong. I'm not going to get them wrong. We are at the ECW Arena, or the 2300 Arena, in Philadelphia on Saturday, August the 4th. On Sunday, August the 5th, we are in Boston. I believe we're in Melrose, which is near Boston. We're British, so we just see the word Boston and presume it's in Boston. Apologies if it is a slight drive.
We're from Boston, so we're glad we could get over all the old stuff.
That's the one most local to you guys, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the one I think we're going to be going to when we've seen you in the area before.
Please do come, and that way I can see you guys in person and have a chat in person, which would be awesome.
Awesome.
So that's Sunday, August the 5th. Then we get a day off. Hooray! Then we have we're at Le Boom in Queens in New York on the Tuesday night, Tuesday the 7th. Then we have another day off where we fly across America, and we then do a show on the 9th, Thursday the 9th. Which is in Seattle, which is a really long way away from New York, which I'm very excited. I've never been to the Pacific Northwest, so I'm very excited to go there. So we do that on Thursday the 9th. Then we stick around to watch Defy's show on the Friday, which will be really cool because they're friends of ours. Then we fly to Chicago. On Saturday the 11th, we do the Cicero Stadium in Chicago, which I think is on the outskirts of Chicago. That's Saturday the 11th, which is my son's second birthday. So this is how much I love you, America. I'm missing my kid's birthday for you. And then we go to Detroit on Sunday the 12th. And then that is our tour complete, where we have done probably six shows in the space of 8 days, which is pretty crazy, but very excited about doing it. It also means there's a lot of places we get asked to go to. Chicago and Philadelphia were two of the ones we get asked for the most. Obviously, we've been to Boston and New York before. Never been to Detroit, but that was a really, because we're doing most of the shows we're doing in combination with WWN and Evolve. So they have a show in the afternoon, then we have a show in the evening. And it's exciting times for us. All tickets and information and stuff like that are on progresswrestling.com. Our Twitter is this_is_progress. And all the information, and we've just put all the match announcements that we've done so far. We normally, because our shows are episodic, we normally take our time announcing matches. We're aware that the American market's different and you guys want to know the matches that we've got planned. So I think we've announced most of the matches for the shows now. There might be one or two matches in some cities that we haven't announced yet, but they're coming up. We're very excited, bringing quite a big roster with us. For example, Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, Tyler Bates, Mark Andrews, Jimmy Havoc will be at every show. And then some guys do half the tour. So Volta is on the second half of the tour. Travis Banks is on the first half of the tour. Mark Haskins is on the first half of the tour. Jack Sexsmith on the second, and so on. So, we're super excited. ProgressWrestling.com for all that stuff. And if you do come to a show and you've listened to me doing this, just come and say hello. I literally will talk to people forever. and I'm more than happy to do that. So if you come to a show, consider me your now personal property and you can just talk to me for a bit. It's fine.
It's true. Jim is super approachable. And to be honest with you, Jim, you had me at Pete Dunne. You really had me at Progress is doing a show. I'm just going to be that guy that shows up and just trust you. But you had me at Pete Dunne, and we mean it when we say it. Wrestling is not good. Wrestling is great. Your options are not scarce. They are abundant. And if you haven't checked out Progress Wrestling yet, you are just doing yourself a major disservice as a fan. British Strong Style is an amazing show to watch, but Progress is just an amazing event to attend. You're going to feel like you're there with people that you've known your whole life, loving this crazy, silly thing that we all do so much, getting energetic, being involved, and the motto of don't be a dick just translates throughout the crowd. It's a good energy, it's a good crowd, and in a world full of dicks, it's nice to be in a dick-free zone for a few hours sometimes, I got to be honest with you. And Jim, you have been fantastic. You're not going to compliment yourself, so we will. You own one of the biggest promotions in the world as far as love and fan support. You guys are doing incredible stuff and made history. More history in less than 10 years than a lot of people do in 50. And the sky's the limit for you guys. We're going to see you real soon in August. All the best. If there's anything we can ever do to help you guys and, you know, promote some talent, promote some shows, we're happy to. Thank you so much for giving the New Age Insiders a call, and we hope to talk to you again really soon. And congratulations again. It's not even good luck. It's congratulations. Yes. You guys are a legit juggernaut, and we're really excited to see where you go from here.
Oh, thank you very much, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
You got it. The owner of Progress Wrestling, Jim Smallman, joined the New Age Insiders. Thank you so much.